Your mother always told you it was good to share. For federal agencies, shared services are a route to greater efficiency, less wasted effort, and maybe even better performance. So why aren't more agencies doing it? Now the Partnership for Public Service, teaming with Deloitte, has come up with a list of recommendations for agencies to get into shared services for human resources and acquisition. Joining me with more, Mallory Barg-Bowman, Research Director at the Partnership. Mallory, great to have you on.
Thanks, Tom.
This is a call to action on shared services. Why did you choose those two areas, human resources and acquisition?
Last year, we interviewed chief financial officers at different agencies about the way their agencies are operating. And, you know, we were really looking at an enterprise-wide view of these agencies. Some of them are so large. When you look at DHS alone, you're talking about 100 million employees. You can compare that to Coca-Cola, which has 129,000 employees, or Google, which has 40,000 employees. You look at the budget of DHS, it's about $60 billion, which is almost twice the size of the budget of New Jersey. So these are large, complex organizations. We interviewed chief financial officers to talk with them about their chief management issues that were coming up. And the two issues that came up consistently was human resources and acquisition as being the two areas that are really fundamentally broken.
Now, when agencies hear OMB speak sometimes or OPM speak, all they hear is how human capital and the workforce development, those are key mission areas for any agency. And yet you talk about maybe outsourcing human resources. So what are we really talking about here?
Sure. So it's not, when we talk about outsourcing human resources, it's really not outsourcing in the traditional sense. It's looking at human resources in a more strategic way, that there are some things the agency can do and should do by itself. For example, HUD moved most of its transactional human resources activities to Treasury's Administrative Resource Center, or ARC. They tried moving, for example, a employee relations function over to ARC and realized, frankly, that that didn't work so well, that that was something that needed to happen in-house within HUD. So there will still be more strategic, agency-focused things that need to happen in-house, but there are common functions that can happen elsewhere.
So the transactions, the routine handling of personnel matters, very different from deciding who should be in your agency and how many people you'll need for this or that mission.
That's exactly right. And frankly, when you move some of those transactional services elsewhere, agency staff are freed up to really focus on those strategic issues, develop a strategic human capital plan, really focus on what are some of the more strategic things that can happen within the agency.
Now, some federal agencies have operated shared resources centers for human capital issues, payroll, and so on for many, many years. What percentage of the workforce flows through those shared service centers now? And what's the potential?
Quite a bit, actually. You know, you look at payroll, for example. Many thousand of employees are paid through the National Finance Center that's at USDA. Many federal employees don't even think about that as being a shared service at this point because it's such a common process that, frankly, works really well. But what we forget is that that didn't always work well. That took decades of focus and really focusing on moving payroll to a shared services provider.
So what are some of the other functions like payroll that are routine and the same no matter what your mission is or what agency you work for?
Sure. Another example that we focus on in the reports is on acquisition. So when you look at the nature of federal acquisitions, 87% of the transactions last year were for less than $150,000. And just to put that in context, when you look at total federal spending on contracts, that's 10% of the total amount the government spent. So basically what's happening is you have a large percentage of acquisition professionals' time being spent on what's relatively small purchases. Many of those can be done in a consolidated way, a unified enterprise-wide way, and can really be moved to shared services. Similar efforts have happened in financial management and IT. Really, the opportunities are endless. Frankly, agencies can get to a point, too, that they really move this into their mission operations. Agencies have used the Census Bureau to administer surveys because, frankly, that's what the Census Bureau does well. It really comes to the point of thinking about the government as an enterprise and really realizing that not all agencies need to do everything well. What they need to do is look across the enterprise and see what resources are available.
And with respect to acquisition, even with those $150,000 and smaller purchases, the micro purchases and so forth, small threshold buys, nevertheless, those contribute to whether an agency can meet its socioeconomic goals for procurement, which is something they get dinged on if they don't meet it. So maybe they're worried that if they hand that over to somebody else, they could not meet another goal that's important on small business.
That's exactly right. And that's, you know, and I think what you're touching on there is some of the hesitation around it. And I think there's going to have to be some, I'll call it strategic incrementalism with moving to shared services, in that, you know, it's a give and take between the shared services provider and the agency, making sure that some of the different goals are met over time while also still meeting sort of the goals for efficiency in operations. When HUD moved to a shared services provider on human capital, it really started just by moving 3,000 of its employees. It took till 2015 till it moved all of its employees, because it really wanted to make sure that there were clear service level agreements, that the values that HUD had were also represented by the shared services provider. And that's a process that takes time and isn't just a matter of flipping on a switch.
We're speaking with Mallory Barg-Bowman, Director of Research at the Partnership for Public Service, and looking at it from the shared services provider side, they have ways of doing things. And so does it often require adaption on the part of the customer agency so that they can fit into that shared services provider and then get the benefits?
Before agencies are prepared to move to a shared services provider, they need to do some internal, you know, I'll call it internal housekeeping. For example, in USDA, before they moved to a one USDA model where they had a streamlined human resources services, they spent 10 weeks in 2010 convening 150 different subject matter experts to really figure out what their needs were, what could be moved, what couldn't be moved. This type of internal housekeeping happens at a lot of agencies where you have dozens of different human capital systems or information technology systems right now operating simultaneously. There is a process within the agency of really need to getting ready for shared services and really taking an inventory of how things are being done. There's also a communication piece within the agency that needs to happen. You know, understandably, agency staff are going to be anxious about this. And so it really needs to be a process of open and transparent communication between leadership and the agency staff.
How effective do you think OMB has been at consolidating the information surrounding the availability of all of these shared services providers and making a portal or making that information available to agencies so that the using agencies know what's out there to join as shared services?
Sure. OMB took a really important step in the past 6 months by creating the Unified Central Governance Board for Shared Services. What you know, I think OMB was realizing was, this is a big cultural shift and administrative shift for agency staff. And by developing really an infrastructure and some staff and some resources, it's really putting some muscle behind this attempt. And, you know, it's obviously been a cross-agency priority goal. The administration has expressed a very strong support. But in creating this governance board, it really provides that administrative sort of heft or infrastructure to get it over the hump of the presidential transition and make sure that it stays in place.
And for both sides, the issue of pricing and interagency transfer of funds to pay for this all, that still is sort of a bugaboo still, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so what progress can be made to overcome that?
Sure. I think demonstrating some of the cost savings that can come out of this is an advantage to both sides of the aisle. You know, looking at some of the category management efforts that have already taken place in the administration around acquisitions, you know, really just looking at one small thing, the purchase of laptops. GSA identified that agencies were paying between $450 to $1,300 for exactly the same laptop, which is a price differential of 300%. Once you start looking at those kind of numbers, you know, and an agency realizes and incoming leadership realizes that they can be spending their money on delivering programs, not on supporting the infrastructure, I think the case sort of makes itself.
Mallory Barg-Bowman is Director of Research at the Partnership for Public Service. For links to more information on those recommendations and to share this interview, go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.